Podcast. Joining me is Maria. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I'm good, thank you. And Hannah Murray, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you for inviting me on your podcast.
It's an absolute pleasure having you here, Hannah. You're a great guest to have. You're a radio presenter. We can't wait to discuss that with you. And of course, for our listeners, we can explain as well that yesterday you interviewed us also. So we'll say a little bit more about that in today's episode also. But starting at the very start, Hannah, you are not from Spain. You've traveled to many different countries. Can you tell us a little bit about your urge to travel and why eventually you decided to call Spain your home?
Yeah, I've always loved traveling from the first holiday when I was a child with my parents. I've always loved looking at maps and globes and things, and love the idea that if we have enough money, we can go wherever we want and explore the world. And I love to do that as much as I can. And I did a lot of it on my own before coming to Spain. I spent time in Greece and Tenerife and Holland, and then did a year in Australia, 3 months in New Zealand and a month in Thailand. I was away for 18 months for my 21st birthday, so I was quite young when I did that. But all the other countries were before the age of 20. And just decided to settle in Spain with an ex-partner. We decided we didn't want to live in the UK and drove to Spain, but didn't know whereabouts in Spain we were going to settle. So we kind of headed for the coast, Barcelona, and then kept spending nights at various places all along the coastline until we got to the most expensive place in Spain that we decided that we liked, in Marbella. And I've been here ever since. And that was over 20 years ago now.
Wow, it's a very impressive story. Nice how you got here after, you know, going to like such exotic places. But so obviously you would have met a lot of English speaking people while you were here. I'm sure you meet them every day. So do you think there is the community of English speaking people maybe doing things that are interesting culturally for you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a big expat community on the Costa del Sol. A lot of people, I think, can have the wrong ideas or the wrong impression about the Costa del Sol. They may have just been to Torremolinos or Fuengirola and think that the whole of the Costa del Sol is like that. And that's definitely not the case. There are places that are more English than others. There are places that are more German than others. And there are places that are more Spanish than others. So you kind of pick and choose the place you want to be. But certainly down here, there's lots of not just English, but foreigners, if you like, expats from different countries doing all kinds of great things, whether it's charity work. There's amazing charities here, particularly for animals, and most of them, if not all of them, are being run by British people or Scandinavian people. And there's obviously a lot of media. There's English newspapers and radio stations and TV stations. I'm also involved with Good Morning Spain Television, which is the first English language television breakfast show in Spain, which is really exciting. So yeah, there's lots going on. There's lots of people that have moved to Spain in order to create a life here and earn a good living. And it's difficult. You know, there's lots of people that end up having to go home because they couldn't make it work. But there's been lots of people that have had success here. And it's, yeah, great to see because it's such a lovely country.
Speaking of success, Hannah, you have a fabulous career. You just mentioned TV, but also on radio. How did you get your break into the media in Spain?
Yeah, I'd never worked in radio or anything before. This is the only radio station I've worked at. I mean, there was a name change at one point, but it's been the same core team. And I just basically heard an advert on the radio for, is there anyone who's looking into getting into radio? And I was 23 at the time and thought, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So I started as a producer getting guests for other people and found it really exciting that you could ask for anyone you wanted to, you know, if you think of people you look up to, or whether they're authors, TV presenters, sports people, politicians, whoever it may be, the idea that you can approach them for an interview, whether they say yes or not is a different matter. But I love the idea that you can ask for anyone. And very often they do say yes, you know, especially if they've got something to promote or something to sell. So I loved it. I found it really exciting. But ultimately wanted to get onto the radio. But that certainly wasn't my idea at the beginning. It was just being involved in radio was great fun. And slowly but surely, I got a weekend show that was a pre-recorded show called Stage and Screen, because that's my background. I did acting and singing and dancing and things at college. So it was really fun doing a show on that subject. And I was reading the weather and reading the entertainment news on other people's shows. And then eventually was given a go at the magazine show. And yeah, I haven't looked back since. I did the magazine show for about 5 or 6 years. Then I did the breakfast show for 9 years. And I've been doing the drive time show now for about 3 years. And all while that's been going on, I've been doing the book show as well, which is a separate show. So the book show is all fiction related mainly. And then the afternoon show is anything else.
Well, so we're going to talk about those two shows in a minute. But, well, I don't know if you've mentioned, or I don't think you have, but the station is called Talk Radio Europe. So it's said to be the only English language talk radio network in Spain, which is quite a claim. You've told us in a couple of minutes ago about the Good Morning, like the breakfast show, the only English speaking one as well in Spain. So it's quite impressive, isn't it? So can you tell us a bit more about how the station came to be, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, so it started as REM instead of TRE, it was REM, which was Radio Europe Mediterraneo. And that was back in, so I started in 2005, and I think it started in 2004, maybe late 2003. And then there was a name change to TRE, Talk Radio Europe. Can't remember when, to be honest, but we've gone through different phases over the years. We used to broadcast in Madrid for a number of years, but it's not straightforward necessarily radio. There's a lot of parts that go into it in terms of being able to broadcast in different areas. So now our main areas of broadcast are the Costa del Sol, the Costa Blanca, and all the kind of bits in between, the Costa Tropical and various other coasts, and going in inland up to about an hour maybe, and then also on the islands. We've got a lot of listeners in Mallorca particularly, but a lot of our listeners listen online. We have a free app that you can download, Talk Radio Europe, so you can listen wherever you are, and also via our website. And we have regular listeners in countries all over the world. A lot of people have connections to Spain, or they've holidayed in Spain and like to keep up that connection. But also, a lot of our content isn't necessarily related to Spain at all. I mean, we have Spanish news and things like that that go out. But my book show, for example, is sort of 95% to 98% not Spanish, with no connection to Spain at all. So A lot of what we do, a lot of the interviews that we do, is very much of international interest. You know, it would be a magazine show similar to the UK or whatever. So it's really nice to have regular listeners contacting us from all over the world, from countries like Japan and Canada and Kazakhstan and all kinds of places.
You mentioned, you know, a lot of moving parts in the radio, lots of fans all over the world. And of course, you have also interacted with a diverse range of people, from Noel Edmonds and Lee Child. you know, whenever you're interviewing somebody, there's different personalities at play. Is there a secret to getting these different personalities to open up and to be good interviewees?
Yeah, I remember I was told once by Mary Harbaugh, who was a presenter on the station before me. I worked for her, getting her guests for many years. And I used to say, how do you do it? How do you know what to ask them? How do you know how to fill the silence if they give you a really short answer? And she said, the secret to being a good interviewer is being a good listener. And I've never forgotten that. And it's very true, because you think it's all about the talking and knowing what to say. But actually, if you're listening to what they say, it should inspire the next question. I've never planned questions when I've done an interview. It's much easier for me, and I think it can often come across better that it's a natural conversation. If you're speaking to someone about their book and their writing style as an author, it should be an easy, natural conversation to ask them about their book and their writing style as an author. And depending on what information they tell you, you know, that's how a natural conversation will take place between two people. If someone's asking about their job or whatever, you listen to what they say and you ask them another question accordingly. So in my experience, that works really well on the radio. And I'm not a controversial presenter. I never want to make a guest feel uncomfortable or try and get any kind of juicy information out of them. I much prefer to make them feel comfortable and at ease, and then comfortable to tell me whatever they want to tell me, you know. And I try and imagine what people listening to the radio would want to hear about the guest, and ask the kind of questions that hopefully people at home would want to know as well. And it's always nice when the guests say, oh, great question. And I'm pleased to say people say that a lot, which is lovely, especially when you're interviewing someone who's been interviewed so many times, you know, somebody like Lee Child, for example. When people like that say, oh, that's a great question, is brilliant, because you imagine that they've been asked everything before. So I do try and think of something a bit different sometimes.
Well, those sound like really good tips. I think some people probably get a bit nervous when they don't know what they're going to get asked. They sort of like get a bit anxious. So some people, I gather, prefer having like the questions in advance to prepare or whatever. But I think you're right. It's much, as a listener, it's much nicer when you're just listening to a conversation. Is more natural as well. So this is what happens in the book show. So obviously we've mentioned a couple of times already. Obviously the show is about books. Yeah, you told us you were presenting other shows before. So how do you get into this one in particular? Are books something that you're particularly interested in? And maybe you can tell us what you like reading a bit as well.
Yeah, funnily enough, it wasn't me who came up with the book show. Mary Harbaugh, who I mentioned before, she did the magazine show, and part of that was the book show. And when I took over the show, it just made sense to take over the book show as well, because I think it's a really worthwhile show as a separate entity to a normal magazine show talking about different subjects, because I think so many people feel like they've got a book in them. And so many people feel like they don't have the time to write it. So I find it really inspiration speaking to authors who are really busy people. You know, I'll never forget interviewing a woman who was married. She had a full-time job and she was churning out a best-selling novel every year. And you just think, wow, it is possible. If you want to do something, you have to make the time to do it. And it is always possible if you really want to do it. So I find it really fascinating speaking to authors. And I don't read anywhere near as much as people would expect me to read. I wish I had more time to read, but I'm interviewing about 20 authors a week, if not more, plus the TV work I'm doing. I also host a weekly pub quiz at an Irish pub that I've been doing for 14 years here. And my husband and I do a podcast as well called Marbella with Him and Her. And I'm also in the local amateur dramatics group, the International Theatre Studio, and I'm playing the lead in Abigail's Party in a month's time. So we've got two rehearsals a week for that. So I'm really busy. So I do read whenever I can, but I'm not glued to books, sadly, because I just don't have the time. But I really like autobiographies, particularly because it's probably the interviewer in me. I find it fascinating to learn about people's journeys and people's backgrounds and how they got to where they are today. So I'm a huge lover of autobiographies. And I'm not the kind of person that goes back to old classics to reread them. In fact, as an adult, I don't think I've read the same book twice ever. Because again, I haven't got time to read all the books that I want to read, so I wouldn't waste my time reading a book I've already read. I've got like a pile of books next to my bed that I'm desperate to get into. So I read whenever I can, normally a little bit in bed or when I'm lying on the beach or something. But I wish I could read more.
So just to finish off, Anna, as you mentioned, you're doing so many things. It all sounds so stimulating and interesting. And I guess you have a profile, as you mentioned earlier, also you get, you know, the station gets letters from fans all over the world. Do you have a particular relationship with your fans? Do you get spotted on the street? Do people send you DMs saying that they love the work that you're doing? Like, what is your interaction like with the people who follow you or the work that you're doing?
Yeah, sometimes it's funny because on the radio, obviously, some people will be listening to you for a long time, but won't really know what you look like, which is kind of nice, I guess. So sometimes I'll be speaking to someone or meet them at an event or something, and they'll go, "I recognize your voice." And then I'll tell them who I am, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, I've been listening to you for years," or "Oh, my husband loves you," or "My wife always listens to your show," or something like that, which is really nice. And I quite like that. I remember when I was young, very little, thinking it would be kind of fun to be famous. But as I've got older, I don't think it would at all. So I'm quite happy to not be sort of chased down the road by people wanting a selfie kind of thing. I've never really had that, and I'm quite happy for it to stay that way. But it's sort of, yeah, there'll be people that will recognize the voice more than anything, and a lot of people who follow what I'm doing on social media. So sometimes I'll bump into someone and they'll say, "Oh, how was your trip to so and so?" And I'll think, "How did they know that?" And they'll go, "Oh, you put it on Instagram." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, yeah, of course." You kind of forget what you're putting out there, and so people feel like they know you and they know what's going on in your life because they're seeing it on social media or you're talking about it on the radio or whatever. So it's kind of funny.
It's wonderful stuff. Well, we're going to put the link to Talk Radio Europe and whatever else in the description of the podcast, but for the moment, Anna, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
No problem. It was a pleasure chatting with you both. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Hannah.